Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
It's a Friday! Friday morning. Woo! It's Bridesmaids weekend. I'm not sure if anybody else is in the same boat, but my nieces and my sister-in-law, who are part of the wedding, will stand up with me. They're coming this weekend. We're going dress shopping. My brother's staying home because, in his words, dresses and shopping are not his thing. Oh, okay then. I mean, you could just come hang out, but
no.
Guess we don't have the TV or the pizza or whatever else it is that you need at home. So I suspect he's looking forward to a weekend all by himself and that he will enjoy that. But yes, I got some plans. Also, next weekend is my second half marathon of the year. And I know I planned this so perfectly. I have to run today for 2 hours, my last long training run before the half marathon, which really does tend to take away from the cleaning that I need to do before my family arrives. But, you know, who needs sleep anyway? I do. We so do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy Friday anyway.
We got to sleep fast.
Good morning to you. We got to sleep fast. We got to play football fast. I don't know what we can take away from week number one that still applies in week number two, right? So we're going to see whether we have trends or whether week one was an aberration, if we've got teams that are starting to establish their identity and find some consistency or nah. All of that will become more apparent as we head through this first week. I'll tell you two things that are apparent, though, that we can now say are trends. Are you ready? The Eagles can still dominate in the trenches. They still have an O-line that can push other people around. They can still run the ball. Remember last season? Oh, yeah, we know. They set records for the number of rushing touchdowns in the playoffs, for the number of rushing touchdowns for a quarterback in, you know, Jalen Hurts, the way that he was able to run the ball during the postseason. They can still run the ball. It's a plug-and-play situation behind that offensive line. So that's one thing we know is a trend after 2 weeks. Also, the Vikings can't stop turning the ball over. Based on Thursday Night Football, those are two things that we know to be sure. It was Eagles and Vikings, Amazon Prime. Actually, at times, I wouldn't say it was a trend, but my internet, maybe it was Amazon Prime, whatever. It kind of buffered a little bit, so I'd get stuck. I'd try to rewind, and it would just give me the circle in the middle of the TV for quite a while. It actually works better on my laptop, but I did have it up on the TV last night for a while until it annoyed me. So that's not a trend, I'm sure. It's just a one-time thing. I just remember people complaining about it last season. So anyway, Amazon Prime, week two, the rest of the year, we're just going to have to get used to it because they pay a lot of money to the NFL. So back to the Eagles and the Vikings. The Vikings had 3 turnovers in the first week, and they lost to the Bucs at home. So here they are on the road in Philadelphia. And while both teams turned the ball over in the first half, the turning point where this game got away from the Vikings was end of the first half into the second half. We're on back-to-back drives. They cough up the football.
Second and 10 from the Eagles 31. Cousins shotgun again. 2 receivers left. Here comes Hassan Reddick from his front side. Pass left. Caught Jefferson. 5. Reaches for the end zone. And he's short. Justin caught it at the 5-yard line, and he got down to the 1, so that's a catch of 30 yards with 33 seconds to go in the first half. Excellent catch by Jefferson, first and goal, Minnesota.
Wow, what a great job. That's a questionable thing. I don't know if they want to look at this and see if he fumbled it, because if he fumbled it out of bounds in the end zone, it's a touchback and it's Philadelphia's ball.
Cousins and the gun. Ty Chandler to his left. Cousins is hit. The football is loose. It's picked up by the Eagles. And down to the 5-yard line, it is Fletcher Cox. The ball was loose as he was hit, and Fletcher Cox, I've seen him run for a touchdown before, but this time he's 7 yards short.
First you hear a fumble at the end of the second quarter. Justin Jefferson reaching for the goal line and losing possession of the football. It goes over the pylon, which means it is a touchback. You don't have to like the rule. That's the rule. Everybody knows the rule. So that's the end of the first half, and the Eagles are able to turn that into a field goal. Then, as the Vikings have a chance to recover, they're trailing by 6 at the break. They've got the ball to start the second half. Kirk Cousins gets hit. It's essentially a strip sack. Ball's knocked away, and the Eagles go the other direction. And so right there, around the half, 10-point swing. And maybe even more than that. Maybe even a 17-point. Well, I guess it would have been a 14-point swing. Because if you consider, the Vikings were likely to score. So Justin Jefferson loses the ball at the goal line. If they do get into the end zone there, it's a 7-point. Well, 7 points for the Vikings. So take the field goal off the board for the Eagles. And then there's no touchdown after the half if they don't cough up the ball again. You've got a massive turnover issue right now for the Vikings because they have lost that battle in the first two games 7-1. So against the Bucs and the Eagles, they've turned the ball over 7 times. That is a major reason why they are 0-2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we'll get back to the Vikings and their reaction. But the Eagles, they can hurt you a variety of ways. They may not be in midseason form. They're certainly not in Super Bowl form like what we saw with their offense at the end of last year. But they can hurt you by using the run to set up the pass. They can just run the ball. Even if you know they're going to run the ball, you still can't stop it. And one great example of that, first half, a 16-play drive that cost 8 minutes. Do you know of those 16 snaps, 13 were run plays? It didn't matter what the Vikings knew was coming, what they were trying to do. The Eagles were able to ram it down their throats. So yeah, huge day, even without Kenneth Gainwell. DeAndre Swift steps up, 175 yards rushing. What a day for him. Career high, obviously. And then with Jalen Hurts getting into the end zone twice, he just bum rushes in behind the offensive line. The Eagles rack up more than 250 rushing yards. But lest you think you can stack the box and that's the way to slow them down, think again.
Third down and 4. Into the gun is Hurts. Hurts is back. Hurts looks. Still looking. He is going deep for Smith, who has it. 20.
Devontae had a huge day as well. He was over 100 yards. Maybe A.J. Brown wanted to share in some of the action. We'll get to that. But yeah, Devontae Smith, he's that deep threat. He's so fast. He can get behind the second level of the defense, and Jalen Hurts can reach him. So they can hit you with a 63-yard bomb, as you hear with Merrill Reese, or they can pound you into submission on the ground. Again, they're not even close to being the team that went to the Super Bowl last year. They're not that good yet. But you can certainly see the potential. And to a man afterwards, what they had to say is, hey, we'd rather work on it when we're 2-0 than being 0-2 like the Vikings. But they didn't say that. I responded with that. Here's the crazy thing about Minnesota, though. They've lost the turnover battle 7-1. They spotted the Eagles double-figure points off turnovers. And yet, they're right there at the end and actually had an opportunity to steal this game back because Kirk Cousins, well, he's definitely chucking the rock.
Cousins out of the shotgun steps up. He shoots one deep center of the field and it's caught. Jordan Addison, 15-10, touchdown. Jordan Addison with the second touchdown he scored this season. It's a 62-yard touchdown throw from Kirk. For Jordan, it is the longest reception of his career, and the Vikings have cut the margin to 27-13. Cousins, first and goal, throws right, caught Hockenson, touchdown Minnesota. T.J. Hockenson with his second touchdown this game. That's a 5-yard touchdown, and it is 34-27.
Greg Joseph, the kickoff. He does. And it is in the hands of the Eagles. They will kneel down on it at the 49-yard line of the Vikings. So the Eagles, Devontae Smith is the man who has it.
It's tough, you know. I mean, obviously 7-1 in the last 2 weeks. Turnover ratios, I mean, that's hard. You know, it's hard to win in this league when you're losing one turnover, you know. And then, you know, we're down six right now. That's tough, you know, but – I mean, the positive side of it is, you know, we've lost these games by 9 points. I mean, there's no excuse, obviously, for that. And we're 0-2, and we have to look ourselves in the mirror during these next 3 days and just really, you know, put that on us. It's on us as players. We hold the ball. I mean, when we have the ball, it's the organization in our hands. And, you know, it's hard.
T.J. Hockenson hauls in a pair of touchdowns, and yeah, he makes a good point. They've lost both these games by a total 9 points, but they've also had seven giveaways. Their opponents have had seven takeaways. So you're cutting off your nose to spite your face, or is it shooting yourself in the foot? You know me and cliches. the Vikings could, I don't know, maybe cut that turnover number in half. Say only turn it over 4 times and maybe you're 2-0 or at least 1-1. So this is kind of tough. Justin Jefferson, same thing. Took responsibility, said, I'm a captain. I can't be fumbling the ball at the goal line. But there were 4 different guys that fumbled in last night's game. And so it's a matter of understanding the NFC North is wide open. Okay, so there's no panic there because the division's wide open. But you haven't made the job any easier for yourselves.
Proud of the way guys fought. Continue to feel like we have, you know, guys who can make plays and be explosive and make this offense go. And, you know, Kevin's going to give us a lot of opportunity to do that.
As a coaching staff, we've got some work to do to ultimately take a look at really an inventory of 8 quarters where, you know, how do we get better? In all 3 phases, I think, you know, there's a lot of areas where we can focus on as a staff to play more complementary football, which we have not done.
I just wanted you to hear that, Kevin O'Connell, because he doesn't say anything that you won't hear from pretty much every other losing coach this weekend. Complementary football in all 3 phases.
As a coaching staff, we've got some work to do.
It starts with me. I feel like I have the coach speak just, it's imprinted on my brain. I'm going to need something a little different than that. Yeah, he says the same, though. The team needs to stay confident. One thing that stands out, and I know they were chucking and ducking because they were trying to get back in this game, but they really aren't running the ball effectively right now either. They're getting dominated by the 2 D-lines that they have faced so far in Tampa and Minnesota. And last night, 28 yards. They only tried to run the ball 8 times for Alexander Mattison. If this was the plan, getting rid of Dalvin Cook, then it's back to the drawing board. That's not going to work. Not in the NFL and certainly not in the NFC North. As for the Eagles, yeah, they're 2-0. It's a lot easier to work on those things that aren't going well. It's a lot easier to watch the tape when you're 2-0.
It's way easier to correct when you're 2-0 and you know no one's feelings are in it, you know, and so we can really press in this meeting tomorrow that we're going to have with the players and hold ourselves accountable as coaches and hold them accountable as players, and that's what we'll do. And so obviously we're not playing. We didn't play our cleanest game. You know, I think the first week was a little bit of a more clean game for the defense and not as clean for the offense and a little bit vice versa tonight. So, you know, we'll we'll go back. It's, you know, you're right. We're 2-0, and a lot of teams would like to be sitting at 2-0. And like I said, when you're in this position, you can really, and guys don't know that we're not playing to the best of our abilities. You can really, that's where you can make a lot of growth.
Now, it's not trouble in paradise. Let's not stir things up. But a lot of attention drawn to a frustrated A.J. Brown, or at the very least, a fired up A.J. Brown. He, and I can't read lips, but the reports are that he was upset over not getting the football as much as, say, he wanted to, or Devontae Smith was. 4 catches on 6 targets. He wanted to be a little more involved. And I guess if you are a wide receiver on this team, the challenge is you have to remain ready, but you know that when you have an advantage like the Eagles' O-line did, and you know the game plan is to run the ball to keep it away from Kirk Cousins so he can't chuck it up and down the field, Justin Jefferson, you don't want him on the field as much as possible. You want to keep him on the sidelines. And so if you're a wide receiver and you're the number one wide receiver, then yeah, I suppose you get a little frustrated watching the ball get handed off over and over and over and over again.
At the end of the day, we got really, really good players with really good guys on this team. I can't tell you how much I enjoy coming into work and spending time with these guys. Like, if I'm spending the time away from my family with anybody, I want it to be these guys. So that sometimes there's emotion within the game, and I know that's speculation of not getting the ball or anything like that. I'm not going to go into any of that, but I know that, you know. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I've lived this. Like, you know, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs through the season. And it's about, you know, stepping in tomorrow and, you know, getting better from this tape. And, you know, I do know this about this team. They genuinely like being around each other, and they genuinely, you know, one of their greatest motivation is not wanting to let each other down. And so, you know, they want to make plays for each other. They want to do the right thing for each other. And I got no doubt that, you know, we'll be in a good spot tomorrow moving forward.
I think everybody wants to make plays and everybody wants to contribute. I have no worry about him, you know, and he's a great player, great teammate, great friend, and we'll all do anything and everything with winning in mind. We won. We don't want to make it bigger than what it is. Yeah, you know, we're talking about external factors here. You know, those things don't matter, and what's said out there, that could potentially divide this group. It doesn't matter. We won.
Okay, here's my thought. It's way too early in the season for this. It's way too early for this, A.J. Brown. And I understand you want the football. I get it, but you don't need it that badly that you're pitching a fit on the sidelines. Yes, it happens all the time. We see guys get to each other's faces. Do you remember, and this is same division, the Giants last year, very first week, Brian Daboll was jawing at his quarterback. I think it was after a turnover, right? Daniel Jones walks off the field. I think it was an interception. I could be wrong. And he walks off the field, and Brian Daboll gets up in his grill and is yelling at him. I mean, Daboll may spontaneously combust on the sidelines one of these days. So he does that. I understand it's intense. Starting in week one, and it remains intense. But my goodness, A.J. Brown, if what he was really doing was complaining about not having the football, it's way too early in the season for that. How about get 5 wins under your belt? How about applaud the fact that DeAndre Swift, who is filling in for Kenneth Gainwell, racked up 175 rushing yards? Maybe yell about that on the sidelines. Again, we may not be reading lips correctly, but it certainly does seem, with the way that Sirianni and Hurts are talking about it, that, yeah, everybody wants the football. Everybody wants to be involved. It's too early for that. Do it behind closed doors. Do it in film session. Don't do it on the sidelines. It's just, it's week two. And I hate it when people tell me to relax, so I'm not going to tell him to relax because that's disrespectful. But it's just, it's a little bit too early in the season for that. I can hear Aaron Rodgers in my brain. R-E-L-A. But I'm not doing it. Yeah, how cool for DeAndre Swift. What a game. And even members of his O-line didn't have any idea how many yards he racked up.
I actually have no idea how many yards he got. I only know one touchdown that he got. 170. That guy owes us a dinner. I have no idea.
Jordan Mailata, he's getting a dinner on this Friday. It's all on DeAndre Swift.
Guy owes us a dinner.
All right, we're off and running. What is the after hours game of the week? And no, you can't pick this one because this one is in the books. So take our poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, my Twitter too, and then on our Facebook page. We've got some defense to highlight because, you know, defense wins championships. Back half of your QB news, but really it's all under the guise of preview for week two. It's a, I was going to say FUBAR Football Friday, but that's not right, is it? I don't use that word correctly, do I? Sometimes I hear you use that word, Producer Jay, but
FUBAR?
I don't. FUBAR?
No. I don't think I've ever said that. I might
oh,
now.
Oh, you say the other word?
Which one?
You know, the other word.
The other word, yeah.
Yeah. The one that FUBAR is in place of?
Oh, yes.
So I don't think FUBAR is acceptable. We want to keep it light around here. It's a fun, fantastic, feathery.
Let's go with FUBAR.
FUBAR.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom-Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom-Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom-Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site, vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
Ball Friday here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Defense wins championships.
Defense wins championships.
I wanted this so bad. I dreamed this, man.
I don't know who the tackle is I'm going against, but I'm going to kill him.
No! And no!
I check all the boxes.
Late rush. He throws it down the field.
Intercepted at the 30. 25-20. Minka Fitzpatrick goes into the end zone.
Defense. Defense. Defense.
That's dangerous.
I have told Producer Jay this music gets me fired up. If we're doing a FUBAR Football Friday, this is the music we need to have. Because defense is badass, you know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get after it, shall we? Because we're previewing week two in the NFL, getting you set up for what's to come. And it's not about the quarterbacks only. I mean, sometimes we give them way too much attention, right? How about the other side of the ball? That Sunday night football game between Miami and New England is going to be critical for the Patriots defense. They cannot give up 466 yards to Tua Tagovailoa on their own field, right? The Patriots starting out with two games at home. They can't turn around and lose two games at home, can they, to start the season? Yeah, Tua's coming in as the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and Matthew Judon knows it's not just about Tua. There's Tyreek, and there's Raheem, and there's Jalen, and it's a challenge.
When you look at this offense, you see a lot of speed in so many positions, running back, wide receiver, quarterback can actually move pretty well. You know, tight ends, they have very capable tight ends to stretch the field as well. And so when you look at this this offensive group and the offensive personnel, is made for, you know, kind of a street ball game.
Ooh.
Kind of a, all right, if the first play isn't broken, the first play's in there, we can transition to the next play, or we can just transition to a street ball and still pick up 20, 30 yards.
No doubt Tyreek Hill would appreciate that assessment of his game, the speed and the street ball. That is one of the candidates for Game of the Week. So take our poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Yeah, another challenge. Well, I guess it should be a challenge, but if Joe Burrow and the Bengals don't plan on playing any better than they did last week in the rain in Cleveland, maybe it won't be a challenge for Baltimore. The Bengals didn't even get to 100 yards passing. However, safety Kyle Hamilton of the Ravens doesn't expect that in week two.
He's super disciplined in the way he plays. He takes what he can get, and the great ones do that. He's very good at knowing what you're in and what you're if you're not holding your looks very well, he's going to dice you up. So we got to be disciplined in our looks and try to make it a little cloudy for him, not make it a clear picture. But yeah, like you said, he's a great quarterback, and it's a big challenge for us, and they have weapons all over the field. So, but like I said earlier, I think we have the guys to do it and contain it and hopefully go out there and get a dub.
Okay, that's my new favorite defensive goal. Make it cloudy for him. That's awesome. I've never heard that before. That's fantastic from Kyle Hamilton. All right, another game inside the AFC. Well, it's AFC South versus AFC West. The Chargers have to figure out how to tackle Derrick Henry, though I'd prefer they don't actually tackle him well because he is my starting running back on my fantasy team. Derwin James, how do you do it?
Physics, depending on who you are as a player. But like I say, you got to swarm. Everybody got to get to the ball. You got to have 11 people to the ball.
That's it. Just 11 people. It takes 11 people to tackle Derrick Henry. Also, watch out for a Derrick Henry stiff arm because it happens at least twice a year. It might be you, Derwin James. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. 11 people. That's it. Just, it takes 11 guys. All of you. Just get gang tackle them. it's Rams and Niners as the game from the NFC West that could be your pick for Game of the Week. The Niners looked brilliant last week on defense, specifically against the Steelers, but also the offense was crisp. Nick Bosa returned just in time, and now they get to face the rival Rams.
Stafford's one of the best in the league, and he showed that last week. We're going to have to pressure him, make him uncomfortable. But yeah, it's a pretty revamped O-line, new guys, so we'll have to watch some tape and get a feel.
Now, the big challenge for the Rams defense is slowing down Christian McCaffrey. Last week had a 65-yard run in which he's bouncing off defenders. I mean, he's the highest paid running back in the league for a reason. And with the other weapons the Niners have, it's hard to focus solely on him. Big challenge for Aaron Donald and the Rams D.
They got a good back, so you got to be stout. You got to be square. You got to play with good technique to be able to, you know, play against the back like that. You know, because he can skinny through little holes and make plays for 50-yard, 60-yard runs on you. So you got to be stout. You got to be disciplined. And then, you know, when your opportunities come to take them chances, you take them. Man, you got to make the play. So.
It's a big one in the NFC West. Cardinals also in the NFC West, and they will host the New York Giants. So the Giants got blown the bleep out last week against Dallas. Did not score a point. It was brutal. 40-0. They were dominated in the trenches, but pretty much everywhere else. Can the Cardinals try to do the same thing against the Giants? Well, the first goal, according to Buda Baker, is Saquon Barkley.
When you have a great back like Saquon, you know that's going to be the way they start the game, trying to, get him involved. And, that's going to be our job to stop the run.
A lot of you told me Arizona would be the last team in the NFL to win a game this season. Okay, we'll see. The Commanders barely, and I mean barely, scraped by them. It's only a late touchdown rumble by Sam Howell. Everyone loves Sam Howell. Can the Cardinals get a win in their home opener? We shall see. The Raiders beat the Broncos by a point. So now Jimmy Garoppolo's Raiders can go to 2-0 if they can win in Buffalo, where the Bills Mafia will be crazed because of what happened last weekend. But yeah, for Marcus Epps, the Raiders safety, this is about containing Josh Allen, because no, he's not going to turn the ball over four more times, right?
Just knowing you got to respect the deep part of the field. We know they like to take their shots, and we know what he can do with his legs, so we got to be ready to plaster for scramble drills as well. But plaster. Josh is a great player, like you said, one of the best in the league, so it's going to take our best game to beat this team, real good team.
All right, forget quarterbacks. We're just going to listen to the defensive guys from now on. First of all, Kyle Hamilton gives me a new term for defense. I'm going to make it cloudy. Do I sound smart when I say that? I'm going to make it cloudy. It's not going to be a clear picture. It's going to be cloudy, like there's a thunderstorm rolling in. Low visibility. Be really low visibility on the field. And then Marcus Epps gives us the... plastered. Shoot, I got all excited about cloudy, then I forgot about plastered? I mean, I don't think that's legal in the NFL. You can't plaster quarterbacks. It's actually against the rules.
We know what he can do with his legs, so we got to be ready to plaster.
Oh! Someone ring up the NFL. Actually, once Josh Allen takes off, he is, in fact, a running back when it comes to the rules, and that's what makes the Bills coaching staff nervous. And I think Bills Mafia nervous, too. I've been saying it for a couple years now. When Josh Allen is your top running back, you've got a problem. That's not, generally they win that way, but that's not a recipe for long-term success. He should not be the lead back in the box score. So I get a little nervous when it happens. And think about last week, 4 turnovers by Josh Allen. He was a little skittish, I think. The Jets were getting to him. They were putting pressure on him. He got hit a bunch. And toward the end of the game, he was forcing it. Josh Allen has taken this responsibility, the accountability on himself. Now they're home in Orchard Park against the Raiders. So, wait, what? Tell me, Jay. Tell me.
I had a Stephon Diggs about that they're still working things out.
Oh, let's hear from Stephon. Wait, are they friends again? Are they brothers now?
I don't know about that.
Yes, they are. Don't start rumors, Producer Jay.
We did some good things out there, but we obviously did some things that weren't characteristic for all of us. I feel like we all can kind of lean on each other and learn from the loss. At moments, we were shining. We felt like we were going to win. And at other moments, it kind of got away from us a little bit. So kind of continuing just to get on the same page and continue to move in that right direction. You try to take it with a grain of salt, it's in the past now, nothing we can do about it, but learn from it, move forward, and let's try to be better next time or be better in the future.
I feel like Stephon Diggs should be delivering the pregame motivational speech in the locker room and not Sean McDermott. Or maybe considering what happened with the Bills team reporter. Did you hear about this? Oh my goodness. A reporter, it's a female. If you want to know her name, go look her up. I'm not trying to embarrass her because it's a mistake that people in media make. I say all the time, when you are anywhere near a microphone, even if you think it's off, even if it is off, don't talk in front of a microphone unless you want the whole world to hear what you're saying. Because there are times, technology, where you may think the mic is off, but it can be turned on somewhere else. It can be turned on remotely. And so this female reporter who covers the Bills was talking too close to a hot mic, and her comments were picked up, and her comments were about Stephon Diggs. In fact, she said, he'll look in my face and say, bleep you, that's how he treats everybody. Stephon Diggs was relatively gracious about it. He said that the comments were hurtful and insulting, and that's not his character, and that he's never said anything remotely close to that to her. So he did defend himself, but he's also a captain, right? And he wants to make sure that that's not the focus moving forward. He and Josh Allen need to be on the same page. Actually, it was Stephon who last week went up to Josh and like gave him the double high five and said, hey, we got to go. Let's go. But come on now. I actually feel badly for her. But then I think, I guess she'll never do it again. Never make that mistake again.
She owned up to it on Twitter.
She did.
Yeah.
She did. Still, though, I'm embarrassed for her. Oh, my gosh. Don't make comments near a mic that you don't want the entire world to hear. Because now the entire world has. It's out there. It's gone viral. The entire world has the chance to hear it.
Assume it's on.
Oy. Assume it's on.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
Nobody's picking the Colts to win the Super Bowl, so let's just go learn, right?
Well, this is always going to happen. Jim Irsay's calling all the shots there. And the honky-tonk man didn't draft this kid where they drafted this kid to have him look great in practice and look awesome running the scout team. You know what I mean? But yeah, let's play this Minshew cat or whatever on Sunday. Like, no way.
Listen and subscribe to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
Or even if it's not on, it's still on.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
We are running the gamut. Defense wins championships, QB news, Thursday night football, and Bite Me. Did that sound like a chomp? All right, don't show off. Let's not get cocky. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So let's take it from a different angle, shall we? Cowboys and Niners look like the best teams in the league last week, but it was week one. Let's see who can establish a trend. It wasn't just the Niners' defense. It was also the offense, and they had extra opportunities, and they just looked efficient and crisp. And Brock Purdy, healthy, play in the way that the Niners need him to. Just distribute the ball to your playmakers. Don't try to do too much. Be steady Eddie, essentially. And he does want to move around a little more this year. I'm not sure we're supposed to be telling other teams this, but the secret is out. The cat is out of the bag. Purdy wants to scramble.
I'm not always thinking run, run, run. It's, you know, how can I dish it off to my playmakers for them to go get the yards? But in the right, you know, situation, if I see some green grass, okay, let's go. And I feel like as I've played more and more, I've gotten a little bit better of a feel of it. I feel like at first I was, you know, a little tentative to, you know, scramble and whatnot. But as I've played, it's like, all right, you know, the defense gives me 10 yards, let's take it.
Well, considering that he is the newly installed QB1 of my fantasy team, Wookiee of the Year, as well as Jay's fantasy team, because apparently we can only have the same quarterback starting for our fantasy team. We would like him to scramble. Just please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. That's all we're asking. Actually, Jay, I got this tweet earlier, which I think you will be interested in. Comes from a fan of the Niners. You're very lucky to have Brock on your fantasy team and in your fantasy league this late. It says this late. It's only week two. He'll consistently deliver you 20 to 32 fantasy points per week.
My gosh.
And contrary to the East Coasters' beliefs, of course, because it's got to be adversarial, he's a top five QB you will see. Also, it's my understanding he's a Star Wars fan. Boom! That's what I say. Forget, I'm all Brock Purdy or bust now. Let's go.
His lips to God's ears. 22 to 30 fantasy points a week.
So, that's it. Right. We need that. Tom Brady actually thinks that the Niners are the team to beat after week one.
They do an incredible job, and Kyle does an incredible job of getting, maximizing the talents and abilities of his players. And he knows what he's working with, and guys who are dangerous with the ball in their hands, like Christian McCaffrey, like Deebo Samuel, he finds such unique ways to get them the ball. Then it's Ayuk, and all those guys are hard to bring down. Then it's Kittle, and he does such a good job keeping the team off balance. And I think the thing I appreciate about the 49ers that's a little bit lost, I think, in today's football is their ability to run the football. You know, every team wants to run the football, but there's so few teams that are running the ball well, you know, in the last few years, too.
That's Tom Brady on the Let's Go podcast. Now, consider that as much as Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have put together a winning team, one black mark on their record certainly is Trey Lance. They move up to get him at number 3 overall. Now he's a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Stephen Jones, who's part of the brain trust, the Jones family that makes the personnel decisions for the Cowboys, he actually got on Sirius XM NFL radio and said, hey, Trey Lance is not Dak's replacement. This is a guy who's backing him up and is our emergency plan.
We just felt like that Trey gave us something that improved that room in terms of if something were to happen to Dak. So we all know he's missed, I think, over 15 games over the last 3 years. So, you know, if something were to happen and you needed to make a run without Dak, then you want to have given yourself every opportunity to have the best chance to go in there and have success without Dak. But Dak's the unquestioned leader here on this football team. He's got rare skills in that area in terms of being able to lead the team. You know, we look at Dak as a guy who's going to be around here for many, many years to come, and just really felt like Trey Lance, upgraded the room and gives us a chance, if something were to happen to Dak, to stay in the mix.
But it is interesting that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch had this fairly major failure. They do have Brock Purdy now, but Trey Lance did not pan out, and they've traded him away, but the Cowboys are willing to take him. They like what he adds to the QB room, and I hope he's happy there. I really do. While we're keeping up with the Joneses, Steven, Daniel, no relation. Yeah, Daniel Jones got a taste of that Dallas defense last week, and now he expects the Cardinals to come at him the same way.
I'm sure they'll come out ready to go and come out aggressive. They're a fast defense. They play really hard and fly to the ball. So I would certainly expect them to do that. And we intend on coming out the same way.
Mm. The Giants fall into an 0-2 hole. There's going to be a lot of uproar because they
stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there.
the laughing Ross Tucker in the background. They paid Daniel Jones a lot of money. And if they start out 0-2, the shine may come off a little bit. So they're on the road in the desert. The Buccaneers are looking to go 2-0. It's because Baker's back, baby. They host the Chicago Bears this weekend. And I don't know if you heard this on NFL Films, but Baker Mayfield celebrated last week's victory in a unique manner.
That's game, boys. Now we got a group hug in the showers tonight, fellas. You gonna do it? What are you doing? What are you doing? Front flip? All right. Don't you embarrass us.
Okay, I'm pretty sure he said group hug in the shower. You think he's fooling about that, or?
Now we got a group hug in the showers tonight, fellas.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did actually say that. And then instead, some guy's like, now I'll just do a front flip. Leave me out of this.
I'm not gonna fall for that trap.
All right. Baker, there's always a hot mic around when you're a quarterback in the NFL.
Don't really care.
All right. Please take our Game of the Week poll, After Hours Game of the Week, on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A lot of you already weighing in on what is now a Fri-yay morning. It's a Fri-yay morning. I love Football Fridays. This show went so fast. So fast. About as fast as Devontae Smith down the middle of the field, past the quarterback, the safety, the second line of defense, everybody. Jay, how are you feeling about what is your survivor pick?
Probably leaning Cowboys. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, but don't copy me.
We can't both be out if they lose.
I know.
I might go Baker Mayfield in the Bucs.
Okay, that's bold. It's
possible.
No group hug in the showers. But anyway, no. I'm going Cowboys. Let's go Cowboys. Yeah. Talk to you Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!